Let's welcome in Todd Furman, racing sports analyst from Caesars Palace in Las Vegas, Nevada, where the forecast high today is around 110 degrees. Todd, what's up?
It's nice and balmy out here. Remember, it's a dry heat when it's 110, so it makes it a little more tolerable.
I'm coming in there tonight, big boy.
Oh, we'll have it ready for you. Then we'll have to warm up the Caesars Sportsbook. What's the festive occasion that's bringing you out for the weekend, Mr. Traber?
My lovely wife and I are just taking a couple days before the wedding that happens in 2 weeks. We're just going to kind of detox from that for a couple days. So,
if you ask Mark, though, this may not be the city to come out here and detox in any capacity.
Well, detox might be the wrong word. I mean, I don't drink as much as I used to, and I'm going to probably play a poker tournament tomorrow or something, and my wife is going to probably do, you know, a little spa deal, and we'll be good.
This is much different than the 1991 trip that Traber made where he didn't sleep for 36 straight hours. I mean,
I had the worst. Was that 91?
I don't know.
That was a trip where I got hives. You ever heard about that trip, Todd?
I have not heard all the details of this fine trip out here to Vegas.
I was driving. I was finalizing my divorce and driving my brand new Explorer out to my brother-in-law in California.
86 Explorer.
Stop it. I was driving it out there, and I was driving. Are we done yet? You guys done yet? Anyway,
awesome.
Todd, don't listen to either one of them. So anyway, Todd, I stopped in Vegas. So I had driven from Oklahoma to Vegas, and I was staying, believe it or not, at the Excalibur. Okay?
It was nice at the time.
Yeah. Or either that. Or I had just given up a bunch of money in a divorce, one or the other. I threw the dice. This is really before I played any poker. I threw the dice for 32 straight hours. Okay?
That's one hell of a session to keep the dice in your hand for that long.
Yeah, I wish I would have had them in my hand for that long. But anyway, I was part of the dice. So I went up to my room to get some sleep before I drove the rest of the way to California. I went in, I washed my face, I brushed my teeth, I laid in the bed, started itching. I was like, oh my gosh, is there something in this room? But I get up, I go look in the daggone mirror, I literally have hives all over me. It was the worst thing you've ever seen. I guess maybe because I hadn't slept in about 3 days.
Well, that's what they say, it'll take its toll. And the other thing was, you weren't staying with us at one of our Caesars properties. I mean, that's a pitfall right off the bat.
Yeah, a lot higher thread count on the sheets. That kind of sounds like Todd's trip to Oklahoma without the hives. all right, Todd, the boys in Vegas, man, they must have known something last night to set that line. I think it opened up at 3.5 and went up to 4.5. But how in the world did they know the Thunder were going to play so well?
We definitely caught two different waves. Number actually opened as low as 3 offshore, was immediately bet up by the professionals. Number started to stabilize around 4 with good two-way action. And it was about a half hour before tip-off that we saw the second wave of action. Maybe it was once the Sharps realized that Little Wayne wasn't going to be in the building sitting in the front row that would allow Oklahoma City to go out there and win by 20-plus points.
If Little Wayne came into the sports book and needed a table reserve, would you accommodate him?
It all depends. If there was one table left and it was a choice between him and you, Mark, then I would really be in a tough spot. I mean, Traber obviously will get VIP treatment when he comes out there this weekend.
We've been lied to today.
Listen to me. First of all, I would hope that Mark and I would draw better than the daggone felon that he is, okay? Just thought I'd let you know that.
I bet he walks around with a little more cash in his pocket than we do.
That's true. He has a little bit more.
The handle would go up. All right, so the line on Saturday's game is already out. It looks like it's 4.5 again. I kind of would think that the Spurs would do a lot better job in game 4. What are your thoughts?
Actually, this number, it did open at 4.5 offshore, and it has come down this morning. It's all the way down to 3. So it tells you a little bit about the zigzag theory that's common in the NBA playoffs. And that's not a casual move from the recreational gambler. I believe the Sharps think that Popovich will have his team ready to go. The bigger adjustment was actually on the over-under. It closed at 207 for Game 3. We're back down to 202. And I think a lot of that is attributed to Oklahoma City's willingness to play defense for the first time in the series, and which obviously gave them a leg up in Game 3. Series prices, you could have had Oklahoma City at about 5-1 to win the series before Game 3. Right now that number's come down. They're about a 2.5-1 underdog to come all the way back in this one.
If you played this game in Dallas on Saturday night, what would the number be?
If Oklahoma City was headed to Dallas, or we were talking about a neutral court?
No, they played San Antonio on a neutral floor.
Neutral floor.
If we're talking neutral, you're probably looking at the Spurs minus 1 to 1.5. I will give you guys a ton of credit since Oklahoma City has probably become the number one home court in the entire NBA. So unlike college where you'll see variances between 2 to 5 points based on Cameron Indoor or a MAC game, Oklahoma City's home court probably worth about 4 to 4.5 points versus a lot of other venues, ones like Madison Square Garden that may only be worth 1.5 to 2.
Yeah, Kyle, I think we need a round of applause for Oklahoma City there.
I'm telling you, I went to that game last night for the first time ever this season. It was absurd.
Las Vegas.
It was incredible.
Recognizing the crowd inside the Chesapeake Arena.
Bow down to yourselves. Hey, what are you working this weekend? What are your hours this weekend?
I will be closing the shop up tomorrow night, so I'll roll into the office about 3 o'clock and be there through midnight. Saturday, I'll work the middle shift, but once that hockey game cranks up Saturday night, I kind of disappear to the back and try and bombard Mark with as many texts as I can, since I haven't done quite the job I promised every time a game went to double overtime or deeper.
Kings are good, man.
I saw the overtime the other night.
The Kings are good. Man, they're good.
They're on a hot streak.
Really
good. What do you think of the... Sorry, go ahead. You finish up with all you want on hockey, and then we'll move on to the Celtics and the Heat.
No, I was going to say it was tough. We had this debate the other day trying to figure out whose playoff run has been more impressive when you talk about what the Spurs had done up until last night and what the LA Kings had done. If you'd ridden both of those teams, I'm sure any bettors out there that have, you know, have a few more dollars in their pocket at this point. And hard to argue with the Kings' success. Winners at 9 straight on the road in the postseason.
It's not even close. One of them's an 8 seed. One of them's a 1 seed. It's not even close. Listen, if the Kings keep running like this, it'll be one of the greatest runs of all time in any sport.
There's no doubt about it. They've definitely got hot at the right time. But the one thing about the NHL, and you know, not to take away from what they've done, you have a goalie in net, Jonathan Quick, who's really come of age. But this is also a team that up until 3 days left in the season was fighting for the 3 seed out west and only missed out by about 2 points, finishing behind Phoenix.
They got healthy
at the right time, and if capitalized while the iron's hot, similar to what Mark's Cardinals did last postseason in baseball.
And home ice means the least of any sport. You know what I'm saying? In hockey.
The Kings were favored in game one, right?
Yep, the Kings were a short favorite. And unlike the NBA, we can't send home teams in the NHL to the free throw line 50 or 60 times to try and level out the playing field.
Ooh, wow. Take that,
like
David Stern.
That. I like that.
What's going on in the Heat-Celtics series? It's really tough, I think, when you see a team play as well as Boston did in Game 2 and get denied to come back. But the Heat haven't played well in Boston this year.
It'll be interesting tonight. The number was 1.5 through some of our competing properties. It's been bet up to 2.5. Unfortunately, we actually can't book any of the Celtics-Heat series, so we kind of stand by as an impartial observer, obviously making me a Heat fan, so we'll be able to book the NBA Finals. The total, another big adjustment. You saw it open at 179 game one. Game two went off at 177.5, and we're right back to 180.5 for game three today. But you make a good point. It'll be real interesting to see how the Celtics rebound from game two, a chance where they really could have won that game and had a great opportunity to hold home court and push the Heat. But I think this series right now would be lucky to go 6 games.
Are you guys losing money on the White Sox every day?
The White Sox haven't exactly been good to us, but when they play the likes of Tampa Bay and the suddenly red-hot Indians like they were until the White Sox cooled them off, we've been in pretty good shape. But they've definitely been one of the bigger movers in our futures market. You could have purchased a Sox ticket at about 50-1 before the season. They're now down to 20-1, and I think a lot of that also coincides with Detroit's struggles. I mean, talk about a team that can't pitch or field right now. I mean, the Tigers seem to be an absolute mess.
I never thought I would say these words in my entire life, but it is time for Jim Leland to go. And I'm just telling you, I'm not blaming all the wins and losses on him. I am blaming the words that are coming out of his mouth. I think the guy is going senile. I really do. I can't understand some of the things that he's saying, and I don't know. I do have an inside source up there I should call, but I don't know. Something's wrong up there. Really bad.
This team just doesn't look to have the continuity. I mean, pitching-wise, they've been an absolute mess beyond Justin Verlander. Offensively, it's been the Miguel Cabrera show, and that's really been about it. This Prince Fielder hasn't quite lived up to those expectations. Defensively, they're a nightmare, and you really have to wonder, in a division that seemed to be theirs for the taking, when you talk about a win total of 92 compared to everybody else in the Central in the low 80s, if Leland doesn't get it done this year, you'd have to begin to imagine that they'll go in a different direction.
What's the Pacquiao-Bradley fight right now?
Manny Pacquiao minus 450. So So you take Bradley at plus 350. I think the fight can be a lot closer than people think. I'm just of the mindset that boxing can't afford to have Manny go down. So unless Bradley knocks him down in the first 11 and a half rounds, he's not going to receive the favor of the judges if it comes to a decision.
You know, it's amazing you say that, because I thought about this last night. Coming out there to Vegas, I was planning on betting some money on Bradley to win that, because I thought, I didn't know what the number was, 350, that's a great number. I'd love to bet 100 to bet 350, to win 350, but I agree with you 100%. He'll have to knock Pacquiao out, because they will not let Pacquiao lose if there's still a chance that him and Mayweather might fight. Yeah, I mean, don't you agree?
No doubt about it. Boxing can't afford to have Pacquiao go down. I mean, the sport desperately needs Mayweather to fight Manny. It'd be huge for us out here in Vegas, assuming that Jerry didn't outbid everybody in Las Vegas for it. But I think he'll even get a better price, and if you believe Bradley can knock him out, the knockout price probably projects out to about 7 or 8 to 1 at that point. But there is a good young fighter going on the undercard, a guy by the name of Mike Jones out of Philadelphia. He's a fighter that bears watching and may be one of the next great champions. Unfortunately, I know boxing took a big blow last week with Paul Williams getting paralyzed in a motorcycle accident. Unfortunate to see a good fighter on the comeback road, but obviously won't be getting into the ring anytime soon.
All right, what should Mr. Traber do with his time this weekend? You send him to Absinthe?
I think Absinthe is a great option, assuming that, you know, Jim can handle a little raunchy humor. I'm not sure if his virgin ears are able to take that type of Vegas behavior. But I can't go wrong there. It should be a pretty lively weekend out here with the heat. Maybe we'll have to send Traber to a Wet Republic or the Venus Ultra Pool at Caesars to try and keep him entertained, although all that scenery there might send him into a bit of culture shock.
Well, first of all, I'm traveling out there with one of the finest women you've ever seen, so I don't need to look at anything.
I went to Wet Republic last year.
What is it? I don't even know what it is.
It's the high-end deal at the MGM pool.
Yeah, I don't want
to. You get a cabana in there.
Yeah, no. Listen, I just want to come over and visit with my man Todd. That's what I want to do. I wish your poker tournaments over there were a little bit higher than like 120. You know what I'm saying?
Well, there's a little bit more going on now with the World Series cranked up. There are some higher end events with some pretty healthy prize pools. So when you get out here, we'll have to show you the tournament schedule, find you a nice event, and maybe, just maybe, if you catch cards, you go back to Oklahoma City with a bracelet of your own.
This is really sad. If I were to win a bracelet, I don't think I'd ever wear it. But that's sad. But it'd be cool to win, though. All right, Todd.
About it.
We'll save a spot for you for the NBA Finals.
Sounds good. What do you guys think? How do you think the series plays out over the next four games or so?
I think there's a great chance that it's going to be everyone wins at home. Now, Mark likes the Thunder tomorrow. I mean, he likes kind of the Spurs tomorrow with the wise guys. But I don't know, man. I was in that arena last night. It was incredibly fired up. And, you know, one of the things that I think we forgot about after game two, as some of the people in the media are asking Popovich, is this your best team ever and all this other stuff, I think we forgot about how good the Thunder really are. I mean, and I'm including myself, too. Do I think they're going to win the series? I think it's going to be really, really tough. But I think we just – people talking about a sweep. Are you kidding me? This team is way too good to get swept.
Oh, I think people always remember what they see last, and they're quickly, you know, willing to jump on board. But you can't forget the fact that Oklahoma City did have a 9-point lead going into the fourth quarter in game one before some of the Spurs' maturity, maybe not the right word, but ability to back them down in the paint and play in the half court really asserted itself. It'll be interesting to see how Oklahoma City responds, because they will get the Spurs' best shot early in that game. And I'm curious as anybody to see how Popovich tries to respond. The one thing he does have going for him is all the big three played limited minutes, and I think you'll see the freshest legs we've seen out of the Spurs all postseason.
All right, Todd, stay cool out there. We'll talk to you again next week.
Always a pleasure, and I'll make sure Traber and I have some good stories to share on air next week for you, Mark.
See you, brother.
All right, Todd Furman, Caesars Palace, Las Vegas, Nevada, racing sports analyst.